your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Wednesday, October 28th, 2020. Getting close to the first of the month. Getting close to November 1st. You know how it goes down. Coming up on today's show, got a lot of good stuff for you. Pretty excited about the show. But before I get into it, I want to tell you about the title sponsor, which is Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or just overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch it. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Now, I told you that today's episode, I felt pretty excited about it. Well, it's because I got a lot of good stuff coming up on the show, as far as I'm concerned. Coming up in segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. If you don't know the number by now, it's 707-654-4693. And look, let me tell you, I try to get as many calls and as many texts in as possible. I apologize for any that I don't get on. I know some people tweet at me, at your boy Q254, send me direct messages, want to get that on the podcast as well. And any chance I can, I'll definitely do that. I just end up running out of time. Yeah, there's so much good content that we just ultimately end up running out of time. So I'm trying to get on as much as possible, so just bear with me. But I definitely appreciate all the feedback, and definitely go ahead and check it all and go through it. I just can't always get everyone onto the show, so I'm trying the best I can. So again, thank you for your patience. I definitely appreciate it. So your calls and texts coming up in segment number three. Segment number two. Trades are in the air, right? Talked about trades in segment number two of Tuesday's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And basically, you know, don't be trading just to trade. But Spotrac.com, they do a really good job, man. They do a good job with contracts. I've had them on the guest on ESPN Central Texas before, just kind of talking about different players around the league and different contracts around the league. And they just do a really good job. If you ever want to know, you know, how much salary cap a team has, it's like overthecap.com. But Spotrac.com. Anyway, they put out a whole piece on a lot of guys that could potentially be on the trade market. And I actually retweeted it out and said, hey, anybody who's looking for people that could be possibly traded, you know, here it is right here. And it was a really good lengthy list. And I'm not going to go through them all. But in segment number two, there's a bunch of defensive players that I wanted to go through, because that's what I think the Raiders are in the market for. I don't think they're in the market for any offensive guys, even though there's a few that are intriguing on there. I'm not going to go through all that. We don't have enough time for that. So I looked at some defensive guys, guys that most likely could be moved and guys that are just kind of rumored to be moved. And I'm going to basically judge them and give you different levels of possibilities of the trades. Trades I would love, trades I would like, and trades that I would hate if the Raiders would go ahead and do it. So that's coming up in segment number two. I'm really excited about it, because I think it's going to be a fun little segment. And then here in segment number one, as I do on the daily, I'll give you the news and the notes of the day. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So off top, there was a trade that happened in the NFL, and the only reason I bring this to the table here on the Locked On Raiders podcast is because, well, there was Raider fans out there that wanted to see this guy traded to the Raiders, and that's Cowboys defensive end Everson Griffin. He was traded to the Lions in exchange for a draft pick compensation, and the compensation was a 2021 six-round pick, a conditional 2021 six-round pick. That was what they gave up, which isn't much, so a lot of Raider fans I saw up in arms. Why? How come the Raiders couldn't do that? How come the Raiders... Look, man, he hasn't really done too much this season at all. You see how terrible the Cowboys have been. He has 2.5 sacks on the season, and the sacks came against the Falcons, terrible team, Giants, terrible team, and Washington, another terrible team. So what I'm saying is he hasn't really done a whole lot. And believe me, as a guy sitting in the middle of Texas who covers the Cowboys on the regular, I know how much Griffin is not needed in Dallas. He's not needed. He's not going to solve the woes of the Raiders in their pass rush. So Raider Nation, don't get up in arms. Yes, Everson Griffin is now going to be a Detroit Lion, but not a big deal. So nothing to get, like I said, up all worked up about. It's just not that serious. The Raiders did make a couple moves on Tuesday. Tuesday. It was nothing that Raider Nation was looking for. They signed a couple players to their practice squad, and I'm sure I'm going to get this guy's name wrong, but linebacker James Onwuolu and defensive back Kima Sivaran. They've both been signed to the practice squad. And if you remember Sivaran, or that name sounds familiar, he was actually the rookie that got cut by the Seahawks because in training camp, he was trying to sneak a female into the team hotel. And obviously, that was against the rules, so they made an example out of him, and they cut him. So he got signed to the practice squad. James Onwuolu, like I said, he got signed as well. And then in a corresponding move, they placed wide receiver Robert Davis and defensive back DJ White on the practice squad injured list. And then they also protected a few players on the practice squad. They could protect four, and that's what they did. Kicker Dominic Eberle, defensive end David Irving, defensive back Dylan Maben, and DN Chris Smith. Those guys were all protected on the practice squad. Also, in some news around the league, the Seahawks waived defensive tackle Anthony Rush. And the reason I bring this to the Locked On Raiders podcast is because, well, if you remember back in 2019, he was a guy that was getting a lot of burn in training camp and did really well in preseason. The Raiders put him on their practice squad, and then the Eagles ended up signing him to their 53-man roster. Well, in 2019 with the Eagles, He had 9 tackles, 2 passes defense, no sacks, and no forced fumbles. Then the Seahawks had him on the roster for 4 games this year. He got a half a sack and 5 tackles. Well, the Seahawks ended up waiving him, so I know that the Raiders are looking for answers in the middle of the defensive line, which would be the defensive tackle position. Anthony Rush, a guy they're very familiar with, is out there. Again, he hasn't done anything in a couple years in the league on the active rosters, so don't think it's a guy that they're going to rush to go sign, but just know that he is out there. Wanting to give you a little bit of nugget on rookie defensive back Damon Arnett. We all know he's on the COVID-19 reserve list. He's also on IR dealing with that thumb injury. He actually tweeted out on Tuesday that COVID-free and my hand feeling better. So that's something that he put out there on Twitter. I'm sure he's going to be coming off that COVID-19 reserve list pretty soon. And also, he should have an opportunity to come off of IR pretty soon. And he's a guy that I do believe that the Raiders would really, really need and really like to have back into the lineup, because again, he had promising moments. Obviously, he's a rookie, he's still learning, he's going to have those bad moments, but the more he can get out there and get some burn on the grass, I think the more that obviously he'll get up to speed sooner rather than later. So look for Damon Arnett to possibly make a return sooner rather than later, which will be a good thing. And my final little nugget here for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast actually comes from Vic Tafer. He's from The Athletic. He put a piece out about the free agents and the free agents that the Raiders have been bringing in as of late, but he also just kind of put a little side note out there on Twitter. And you know I'm always kind of flying around Twitter, so I see these things. And this one just caught my eye, as I know a lot of Raider Nation is upset by the free agent signings and the lack of production from the free agent signings that the Raiders have had. He put out there, Corey Littleton, Nick Wachowski, Carl Nassib, and Malik Collins have all combined for 5 tackles for a loss, 3 passes broken up, 1 quarterback hit, half a sack, and no interceptions. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 guys have combined for 5 tackles for a loss, 3 passes broken up, 1 quarterback hit, half a sack, and no interceptions. That becomes a problem, man. When you're signing free agents that you're seeing out there perform on other teams, and then you bring them in and you expect them to be really good, don't switch up. And I'm not saying this is exactly what the Raiders are doing. I have a gut feeling that it is what the Raiders are doing, but don't switch up what they did. Don't switch up what made you want them. You know what I mean? Whatever they excelled at, like Corey Littleton, for example, whatever you saw on film when he was with the Rams that made you say, boy, I could really use that guy on our defense and have him as a linebacker on the defense, and I think that this guy would really help shore up this team. Don't switch it up. Do whatever he did really well that made him a high-dollar free agent from the Rams that made you go sign him. Just like LaMarcus Joyner. He's a guy that Raider Nation talks all the time. When he was with the Rams, he was a safety, not a slot corner. But then the Raiders decided they wanted to get all scientific and get all creative and make him a slot corner, when that's not who he is. I've said it so many times, and it's the most simple thing. And Richard Sherman, I got to give him credit, because that's where I heard it from. If you're a wheel, be a wheel. If you're the engine, be an engine. Don't ask an engine to be a wheel. It can't happen. And don't ask a wheel to be an engine. You know what I mean? Like, if you are who you are, just be that person. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to do something else that's not in what you do. You know, if you saw Carl Nassib on film and thought how he can be a real good asset on your defense, and you liked what he did at the other places, the other teams he was at, then use him in that role. Whatever the decision was that made you think Malik Collins was going to end up being, you know, the key to the Raiders' defense, use him in that way, not a different way. Use him in the way where you saw him be successful. That's the things that bother me. Like Nick Wachowski, I feel like they're doing that. He would come in with the Bears, and he would fill in a role when the starter wasn't there. But you saw that he could do it and could do it on a consistent basis all the time. You saw that all he needed was the opportunity. They're basically asking him to do the same thing that he's doing, or he was doing in Chicago. They're basically asking him to do that now with the Raiders. And he's actually probably the best free agent out of all the guys I mentioned, out of Littleton, out of Nassib, out of Malik Collins, hell, even out of LaMarcus Joyner. Kwiatkowski's probably a guy that actually is working out pretty well. And it's because they're not asking him to be someone that he's not. That's one of the biggest things that frustrates me. It's not exclusive to the Raiders because so many teams do this across the league. They'll go and sign somebody and go get somebody as a free agent, give them a boatload of money, and then all of a sudden ask them to do something that they don't do. It makes no sense to me. It makes absolutely no sense, but it happens all the time. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, kind of news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, going to talk about the level of possibilities of many different trades, trades I would love, trades I would like, and trades that I would flat out hate. That's coming up next. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, and they have everything. If you need parts for your engine, they got you. Parts for the brakes, they got that. Tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. They got everything. And it doesn't matter if your car is something that you drive every single day, drive it to work, drive the kids to school, whatever it is, or something that you pull out of the garage on Sunday and you're just working on, you're trying to get it fixed up. They got parts for every single kind of car that there is. They're just a few easy clicks away, and they're delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com is unique and super easy to navigate. You'll see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and most importantly, the prices that you prefer. That's right, the prices. The prices at RockAuto.com are always super low, and they're the same for professionals as it is for do-it-yourselfers. So why spend more money than you have to, right? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car and truck. The only thing I'll ask you to do is write in the little box on how did you hear about us, Locked On Raiders podcast. It's all I need you to know, or I need you to do, and then they'll know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amazing selection, great low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, all from rockauto.com. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. This is a segment that I'm very excited about. Hopefully you are as well. Obviously, trades are in the air. The rumors are in the air. They're floating around. November 3rd, which is my birthday, next week, next Tuesday, not only is it Election Day, but my birthday and the trade deadline in the NFL. So you get the trifecta on Tuesday, November 3rd. There's going to be a lot of rumors about guys coming and going and the possibility of that up until that date. But as I've been told and heard multiple times, most these trades are going to happen before that Tuesday, November 3rd date, that 3 p.m. deadline on the Central and 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 o'clock Eastern, because you got to get these guys into the facility COVID-19 related, and it's going to take multiple days to do that. So most people are going to complete their trades by the end of the week this week. So just kind of know that if there's going to be some trades that happen, most of them will happen quick, fast, and in a hurry, even before you head into the weekend. So just wanted to go over some, because a lot of Raider Nation is looking for answers. The Raiders are looking for answers. How can they fix up the team? Vinny Bonsignor, he said on Raider Nation Radio to myself and Scott Goldbranson at the end of Silver and Black Today last week, he said, if the Raiders were looking to make any kind of move by the trade deadline, it would probably be for a defensive player, somebody that they would really covet defensively. And that makes sense to me. There's offensive players that are going to be available, but I think that'd be a luxury for the Raiders. I don't think that'd be something that's like, oh yeah, go get that guy. It'd be something like they're just kind of getting greedy if they were to go make that move. I've seen people talk about Julio Jones or AJ Green or something like that. They don't need those guys as far as I'm concerned. Would they like to have them? Sure, but I don't think they need them. Either way, I just want to talk about defensive players. Don't have a ton of time, so I really couldn't go over everybody. But Spotrac.com, it's a website I go to quite a bit. It always kind of gives you the numbers wise as far as contracts, salary cap, dead money, kind of hits against the salary cap, all kind of stuff. It just kind of keeps you up on all the numbers as far as, the NFL goes and players and teams and where they stand. So they put out a piece that was really good about trades in general, and I retweeted it out so people could check it out. And if you're looking for it right now, it's called 25 plus NFL players who could be on the trade block heading towards the November 3rd deadline, including the financial ramifications to acquire or move on from each. And so, 25 plus players, clearly I'm not going to go through all that, but there's some that I found on there interesting. There's some that I've had people talk to me and ask me about, so I thought I'd go over the ones, like I said, defensively. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. The first one is one that I mentioned on Tuesday during segment number two, and that's Carlos Dunlap. He's in Cincinnati. He's age 31. It says Dunlap has been rumored to be on the move a few off seasons now. This trade deadline might actually see it come to fruition. He'll have $4.37 million remaining on his 2020 salary at the deadline, then a non-guaranteed $11.25 million for 2021. The Bengals would take on dead cap hit of $6.42 million in 2020 and $2.25 million in 2021, saving $11.25 million. Carlos Dunlap is 31 years old. And Raider Nation, I mentioned it on Tuesday, do not want any parts of that trade at all. I really don't. That's one that I would say, like, remember Men on Film on In Living Color back in the day? Hated it. Remember that? That's a trade that I would hate. Let's put that in the hate category. Let's keep it moving. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's now a defensive end right now in Dallas, age 28. It says extended just last year. Lawrence hasn't held up his end of the bargain to date. With Dallas going the wrong way currently and the payroll only increasing, it seems like one of the bigger chips will fall at some point. Lawrence will have $1 million remaining on his 2020 salary at the deadline and a fully guaranteed $17 million in 2021 with a veritable two-year $40 million option thereafter. His move would leave behind $8.9 million of 2020 dead cap plus another $27 million in 2021, a loss of $2 million. That's for DeMarcus Lawrence currently of the Cowboys, and I think he has one sack on the season, not a whole lot of production. He's 28 years old, like I mentioned, and that's another one that I put in the hate category. DeMarcus Lawrence at one point was a pretty good player. I never thought that he was like a war daddy, like Jerry Jones likes to say, or he was never like a big time, the alpha dog. I never thought he was that guy. He talks loud like he's an alpha dog, but I've never really seen him perform on a level where he was just the dude. And all that money that I just described to you, that basically the Raiders would be taking on and all his salaries following the 2020 season, makes it a reason why I would hate that trade. If he didn't have very much money that they'd have to worry about, then I would say maybe it's okay. But as far as I'm concerned, for the production that he is and he's had, and he's been banged up quite a bit as well, I say that I hate that one. How about this one? Safety Anthony Harris. He's now with the Minnesota Vikings. He's 29 years old. This is actually one that I like. The Raiders need safety help. It says Harris will have $6 million of his 2020 franchise tag remaining at the deadline, leaving behind $5.4 million to the Vikings should he be moved. So I would be fine with that. He's on the franchise tag, so somebody has to extend him. They can sign him for the rest of the year. They could trade for him and sign him for the rest of the year, but I wouldn't want him to be just a rental and then walk in free agency or have to franchise tag him again. If you're going to do that, and he's only 29 years old, you have to give him a contract extension, in my opinion. You have to give him a 4 or 5 year deal and give him a pretty lucrative deal, and I would be okay with that. I think Anthony Harris, well, I know Anthony Harris is a ball hawk. He would do a really good job of turning the ball over. Him and Jonathan Abram, I think, would be a really good duo in that back end. A huge upgrade over Eric Harris and a huge upgrade over Jeff Heath. And that's not disrespecting those guys. He's just a lot better player than both of those dudes. So I would definitely like that trade. Now, here's one that I don't think is even possible, but whatever. Stephon Gilmore, cornerback from New England, a reigning defensive player of the year. He's 30 years old, and what it says about Stephon Gilmore, there were rumors that Gilmore was on the block this offseason. So if the Patriots falter over the next few weeks, his name could pop back up in conversations. Gilmore will save $8.13 million remaining at the deadline with a ridiculously small $7.5 million to be made in 2021. So a trade now almost certainly means an extension this spring. A move would leave behind $7.3 million of dead cap in 2020 plus another $7.6 million in 2021, a $9.5 million savings for Stephon Gilmore. And look, I would love this. I'm not even going to lie to you. I would love for the Raiders to make a move for Stephon Gilmore because I think he's a dog. He's absolutely one of those dudes that can get after it and take out your best player as, well, the Raiders saw, what was it, week 3? They did their thing with Darren Waller. Stephon Gilmore had a lot to do with that. I would absolutely love that. But the reason I'd be scared is because why is he on the blocks if you're in New England? You know what I mean? Like, New England, when they're ready to trade and move on from a guy, you have to double look at yourself and say, wait a minute, hold on, why are they getting rid of this dude? So that's one reason. It's just like when they decide that they want to reach out and go get somebody, 9 out of 10 times, it's like, wait a minute, they want this guy really bad? Hold on, what am I not doing? So I would love it because I think, like I said, he's a hell of a player. He's an absolute, just like I said, dude. Would love to have him in the secondary, but that would be more of a luxury love. You know what I mean? The Raiders need a defensive back, but that would almost be one of those, I'm just getting a little greedy. So yes, I would love it, but it's very unrealistic and also a little nerve-wracking because New England's the team that he's on, and why are they trying to move on from him if, in fact, they're trying to move on from him? And just because I'm going over these guys don't mean that these guys are all going to get moved. But these are the guys that are, rumored and that actually have a little bit of skins on the wall as far as names go. How about this one? Quinnen Williams, defensive tackle out of, he plays for the Jets right now, age 22, will be turning 23 pretty soon. A trade of Williams after moving on from Jamal Adams would be a full defensive teardown, as the young talented lineman is in just year two of his rookie contract. He'll hold just $357,000 at the deadline with a fully guaranteed $3.6 million and $5.1 million respectively through 2022 thereafter. The Jets would take on dead cap hits of $7.1 million in 2020 and $10 million in 2021, a loss of $1 million. This one seems unlikely for a lot of reasons. And I would love it for all the reasons that aren't really said in there. He's young. He's on a rookie contract still. And I think he could be a difference maker in a good situation as far as, in the middle of that Raiders defensive line. I think him and Mo Hurst lined up next to each other would be a really good 1-2 punch. I'd be for all that. I definitely was a Quinnen Williams fan going into the draft. I wanted the Raiders to draft him. The Jets picked a one pick before the Raiders got up there and got Cleve Farrell. And I think that the Raiders wanted to get Quinnen Williams as well. But again, he was off the board by the time the Raiders picked at number 4. So I would definitely like that. I think he could be a difference maker. Matter of fact, I would love that. That's one of those trades that I would love, but I'm just not sure that, one, the Jets would even move on from him. Don't know exactly what it would take to get him. I said a third and a fifth I'd be willing to give up, no problem, but I'm not sure if that would be enough for the Jets. So that's one that I put in the love category, but I also put that in the most likely not to happen category. Just got a couple more for you real quick. How about this one? Ryan Kerrigan, defensive end from Washington. He's age 32. It says the longtime Washington DN will have $6.2 million left on his expiring contract at the deadline. The Washington football team will take on $5.47 million dead cap hit to move on, though moving Ryan Anderson seems more likely at this point. So he's 32 years old. He's on an expiring contract. So you'd either have to keep him around or you'd say, okay, look, you're going to be a 8 or 9 game rental. You're not going to be a guy that we're going to keep around very long, but we think that you can help out for this year. And Ryan Kerrigan's a good player, really good player. Definitely can get after the quarterback. This is one that I would put in the I like, but I not like category. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he would be a good player for the stretch run for the Raiders. But I also realize that you're going to give up some capital for a guy who most likely probably won't be on your team in 2021. And if you're going to give up some capital, I'd rather do it with a guy that's a little bit younger and a guy that I think is going to have a little bit more longevity and that you can keep around for a little bit longer without having to give, another contract to. So that's one of those that, if that's the one guy that they think could really become a difference maker and they know how to use him, you can never have enough pass rushers. I mean, he could be a guy that you use in a nice rotation. It's not very much money, so that's cool. But just realize most likely that it's a rental, just the rest of the season rental. And that's the only reason why I put that in the like, not like instead of just like, because I think in general, I would like that. So my final one here isn't even from this article. My final one here actually comes from my guy, Omar Kelly, who covers the Dolphins like a glove down there in Miami. He does a really good job, and he's putting out, even though it's being refused now by the Miami Dolphins, he's putting out there that cornerback Xavien Howard is available for trade. Now, I know Xavien Howard personally because he went to Baylor. He was a second-round draft pick of the Dolphins. He has a very high contract. He's a ball hawk. He has four interceptions already on this season. Him and Byron Jones make a really good duo. I'm not really sure why they would trade for him, but Omar Kelly is a very reputable guy. So if he says that they're trying to trade him, I don't care if anyone else says that they're not trying to trade him, including the team, that means that they're trying to trade him because he wouldn't put nothing out, and he even tweeted, he's like, I stand by my work. I know damn well that the Dolphins are trying to trade him, and on top of that, they're also the team that's denied every single trade, and every time they deny a trade, it's a trade that ends up happening. So he wrote, if a team trades for Howard, it will inherit his $12.1 million salary in 2021, which became fully guaranteed at the start of this season. He's slated to earn $12.475 million in base salary and workout bonuses in 2022, $11.5 million in base salary and workout bonuses in 2023, and $11.75 in 2024. All those years feature $500,000 in roster bonuses for games played, but only the 2021 salary is fully guaranteed. Howard does have $7 million of his 2022 salary guaranteed for injury. He's the NFL's sixth highest paid cornerback behind Jalen Ramsey, Marlon Humphrey, Tre'Davious White, Darius Slay, and Byron Jones, who's his current teammate. And his base salaries per season are quite manageable. So that's from Omar Kelly. I would almost love this one. I would like it. I almost love it. And the reason I almost love it is because It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money that you know, that they would have to dish out, and it's a lot of money that he's going to be guaranteed over the next few seasons. And the only concern I have about Xavien Howard, and I told him this even when he was at Baylor, is that he's had some knee issues over the past few years. Even when he got drafted by the Dolphins, he had some knee issues, missed some of his rookie season. But what he's been able to do is come up with a lot of interceptions. I mean, this one dude, I'll tell you, is a guy that gets after the ball. If it's in the air, for some reason, Xavien Howard, even going back to college, finds ways to go get the ball. I mean, he's had 16 interceptions since coming into the league in 2016. He's played 46 total games and has had 16 interceptions. So he's a guy that can get it done. He has four already this year. He had seven in 2018. That was his high that he's ever had. But the dude could definitely make some plays. So that's why I would almost love it. I would like it, because I think that the Raiders could really use a ball-hawking defensive back, and he definitely is that guy. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Levels of possibilities of trades. Most of it came from Spotrac.com. Again, if you want to go check out the whole thing, it's called 25-plus NFL players who could be on the trade block heading towards the November 3rd deadline, including the financial ramifications to acquire or move on from each. If you're on Twitter, at Spotrac, S-P-O-T-R-A-C. And, of course, Spotrac.com is where you can find all this information. So coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Before I get into that, though, I want to tell you about Built Bar, something I've been telling you about for many, 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 many moons. Built Bar is really, really good protein bar. It's not your average protein bar. It doesn't taste like chalk. It doesn't taste, you know, like dirt or just have that nasty aftertaste. It's a protein bar that's 100% covered in chocolate. Some people like to eat it right out the pantry. Some people like me like to put them in the fridge and give it a little bit of chill, and then I eat them. But either way, man, they got a lot of real delicious flavors. 18 flavors. They had 12 OG flavors. They're the original ones, and now they've added six new ones. And I mean, they just have all kind of variety of Built Bars. I've actually bought multiple boxes of them. They also have other Built products. They have a little boost drink that I used to put into my water. I don't have any more of those anymore, so I don't do it. But if you go to builtbar.com, you can check out all the different products that they have. You can find out ways to get, you know, boxes of one flavor. Like if you find a flavor that you really, really enjoy, boom, you can go get that one. If not, you can get a box of multiple flavors. I've had many multi-packs, and it's just really good to kind of try them out and see which ones you like the most and see which ones you don't. I was actually a real big coconut fan, and I never really understood why, because I'm not an Almond Joy guy, and I'm not a candy guy ever, really, but it was really good. So I definitely enjoyed that one, but there's multiple flavors that you could choose from. Just go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get 20% off your next order. It used to be back in the day, it was like 20% off your first order, and then they'll send you more coupons and stuff like that by way of email. Now it's 20% off your next order. So it doesn't even matter. Like if you got one order and you want to get another one, boom, you can go get it. Still get 20% off. You want to get another box, get 20% off. It's real easy. All you got to do is go to builtbar.com. Make sure you use the promo code Locked On. If you do that, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Segment number three, it is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your time to shine, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. And before I even get into the call, got to sound the alarm one time. You know why. This first call's from a new booty. California boy from East Oakland, now repping the DMV. First and foremost, like I said, he's calling in as a new booty. And then he's sharing his thoughts on defensive coordinator Paul Gunther and what the Raiders need to do with him and why. Here he is, California boy from East Oakland, now in the DMV.
Yo, yo, what up? It's California boy from East Oakland, live from the DMV. And I got one thing to say about Paul Gunther. He got to go. So y'all remember when John Pagano took over for Ken Norton, right? We have 14 sacks and six interceptions through 10 games with K&J. With Pagano, we have 14 sacks and six interceptions through four games. We shut down the Super Bowl champion Eagles in Philly. Almost won that game. Khalil Mack had five sacks in those four games. And so did Bruce Irvin. Sean Smith played 100 times better because of Pagano. They let him travel, all over, and he was playing great football. Pagano was disguising coverages, and he moved Mack around and let Bruce Irvin primarily rush. I say that to say this. Coaching can change a whole defense instantly. Paul Gunther, you got to go.
There he is right there. It's a call from California boy from East Oakland now in the DMV, and he says Paul Gunther's got to go, and he goes back to the time when the Raiders had Ken Norton Jr. as the defensive coordinator, moved on from him and got John Bacano, in there, and they did a lot better in the rest of the season. And so, I mean, yeah, that could have that kind of effect, or maybe it doesn't. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the dice that you roll on that kind of a move. I thought that was going to happen following Sunday's media session, but obviously it didn't. On Monday, John Gruden doubled down. He made it pretty clear that's not in his plan. So they're going to have to figure this thing out. I think they're just going to have to bring up some hungry players. Get some guys in there that actually want to ball out and show what they can do. You do that, take a couple jobs from a couple guys, and they might take it personal and get out there and ball. But again, that's just a lot of questions, and we won't know the answer until we see him on game day coming up on Sunday against Cleveland, a team that's going to want to run the ball. That defensive line is going to have to be really, really active. We'll see if they're up to the challenge. But thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Next up is a text from Paul and Luke in the ATL. Hey, Q, Paul and Luke in the ATL. Depressed as hell after that performance. The defense is so bad, no one got near Brady. Secondary picked apart all day. Just an awful performance. This team needs some help on defense, and I still think it's time to move on for Paul Gunther. I worry that we will lose some otherwise winnable games. Chargers and Herbert come to mind because we just can't ever get off the field defensively. The offense has to be perfect. It's just too much to ask. Horrible beginning to our week here, buddy. Here's the hoping next week is better. Raider Nation for life. Raiders. That's from Paul and Luke in the ATL. And, you know, kind of echoing the same thing that California boy from East Oakland was saying. Paul Gunther's got to go. Concerned about some games that should be very winnable. But with the piss poor defense's performances, you never know. You know, and then, like you said, the offense has to be perfect. But if you remember, Kansas City did it until they got Steve Spagnuolo in there. When they had who'd they have? Not Gunther. Oh, it was Gunther Cunningham. They had him in there as the defensive coordinator, and he wasn't doing nothing, and the defense was terrible in KC, and the offense was getting it done. The Raiders might have to do that. Raider Nation, I thought the defense was going to be behind, and it was going to take some time to catch up. They may have to be just a bad defense until the season's over and the Raiders can do something else, maybe outside the building. But, you know, the offense may have to carry the load all season long, and Kansas City was able to do it. They didn't get to the Super Bowl that year. They were one offsides away from being there, but still, I mean, it might be something that the offense has to do. It's not ideal, but, you know, when push comes to shove, sometimes you got to do things that are less than ideal. So thank you so much for that text. It's always good to hear from you guys. Next up is the call from Raider Izzy. He's calling in with four ways to improve the Raiders' defense that he believes will work if Gruden and Paul Gunther want to get this thing turned around. Here he is, Raider Izzy.
What up, Q? Raider Izzy. Just finished Tuesday's podcast. Wanted to chime in on ways to improve our defense. Totally agree with almost everything that you said, but I have four things I wanted to talk about. Four ways we can improve this defense if Gruden actually wants to adapt and potentially switch up the scheme a little bit and actually play the player's strengths, like he said. Here are four ways. One, we have our free safety on our team already. LaMarcus Joyner could be what we need at free safety, but we refuse to play him deep. I suggest moving Joyner to free safety, deep safety, and let Robertson get some burn at nickel. Two, stop playing off coverage with Mullen. Mullen has had a phenomenal year, in my opinion. Two or three weeks ago, he was ranked as the number one press cover corner in the league. We continually play him, and when Arnett was in there too, we play them off coverage. Let them play, man, face mask to face mask to their strengths. That's two. Three, let Mo Hurst play. I understand he missed a game. I get that. He currently has 138 snaps. Hankins has 239. Let Hurst get some playing time, and did the same thing last year too. And Malik Collins has 198. Hurst has 138. Let him play. Let him get some burn in there. The last thing, blitzing. I understand the more you blitz, the less you have in coverage. I get that. I totally understand that. If you can play corners up tight, like I talked about, the way they're comfortable, blitzing Kwiatkowski and Littleton more, which they have proven to be very good at in their careers, would be very beneficial. We have blitzed 46 times in six games. 46 blitzes, not sacks, not tackles for loss, blitzes. We have blitzed 46 times in six games. That is less than 8 blitzes a game for a team that has 7 sacks. So that is 4 ways to improve. And I'm not saying just send everybody. I'm saying blitz at the appropriate times, but be a little bit more creative. Like, it's ridiculous. It's so old school and so out of date. Those are 4 ways right there. Joiner to free safety. Let Arnett and Mullen play press coverage more often. Give Hurst some time. Let him play some ball. Start blitzing Kwiatkowski and Littleton a little bit more. 46 times in 6 games is not covering it. So that's 4 ways right there we can improve this defense without signing anybody. Thanks, man. Sorry for the little rant there, but I love the show as always. Later, bro.
So his 4 ways to improve the Raiders' defense. LaMarcus Joyner, move him back to free safety, which is where he plays and plays well. Mullen and Arnett, let them play press man corner. Let Mo Hurst play and blitz more with Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski. You know what? I like all of those ideas. You know, if you put Joyner back at free safety, then a guy like Amik Robertson has a chance to get onto the field and be that slot guy. You know, something that LaMarcus Joyner clearly can't do. And I'm not saying that Amik Robertson is going to be able to do it, but at least get the young guys some burn. Let them get out there and try. Mullen on Arnett, when Arnett gets back, yes, they do play very good man corner. Let them do that. Man up. Let them play that press man coverage. You know, let Hurst play more. He's the guy that's getting there. Let him play. And Gruden said that there's going to be some personnel moves, so maybe you're onto something. Maybe that's exactly what they're going to do. I'm not banking on it 100%, but who knows? That might be something that they're working on. But Raider Izzy, I think you're really onto something, man. That idea right there is what I'd like to call is cooking with grease. I ain't said that in a while because, well, the defense hasn't been cooking with grease in a while. And I think if they make those kind of moves that you just pointed out, I think they would absolutely be cooking with grease. Definitely appreciate that. Up next, I got a text from Don Juan from the 303. He says, hey, Q, it's Don Juan from the 303. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like it doesn't matter who we bring in as long as Gunther's a defensive coordinator. He doesn't bring out the best of the star defensive free agents we bring in. That goes back to what we were talking about in segment number 1 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, where I was talking about the lack of production from the guys like Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, LaMarcus Joyner, you know, guys that they have been brought in to be those defensive guys, Malik Collins, cats like that. They're just not getting it done as free agents, and that goes back to Don Juan from the 303, his point. So, yeah, man, you're absolutely on to something right there. Definitely appreciate that. Final call for the show. Final call for the day comes from Jake from KC. He's calling in to talk about week to week as far as games go and is now looking forward to this week's game versus the Browns and what kind of game he feels like this can be. Here he is, Jake from KC.
What's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? It's Jake from Kansas City. I called last week about going week to week and not looking too far ahead. And this kind of sticks with that. But so looking at Cleveland next week, I mean, sitting here 3-3 just after getting blown out, kind of glad that wasn't on prime time. Who knows what the outcome would have been if it was, but, I mean, you know, playoff teams don't really get blown out. They at least, you know, contend in games. But if we're going to think optimistically here and where the Raiders should be if they can get their act together is the playoffs, I'm kind of looking at this game as a must-win. I mean, the Browns may be playing pretty sloppy, but they got 5 wins. We're sitting here with 3, you know, maybe they have 4 wins, you know, I'm not too sure, but it's either 4 or 5, either way, they got more than we do, and I feel like they're going to pull their act together sometime here soon. If not, they're going to find a way to win some games just like we will, and I feel like this game right here could have serious playoff implications. Maybe it's coming down to the 6th seed, 7th seed, something like that, and if we lose the head-to-head to Cleveland, then we're automatically under them, so you know, we just have to outright win more games. But so I think this game's a little bit bigger than some people are making it out to be. Coming off a pretty embarrassing gut punch loss that hopefully puts us back in check. And just looking forward to Cleveland this week and hoping we can figure something out on defense. Maybe hold them to under 30 points. And maybe we get a little more than 30, who knows. But I'm just hoping for a win. So everyone just stay confident. I mean, last time we got kicked in the teeth, we went out and showed up against Kansas City. So hopefully we can think for the same thing. Just win, baby.
There he is right there, Jake from KC. And I wouldn't call it a must win, Not game seven of the year. I'm not going to call it a must win, but look, it's definitely a gut check moment game. I think coming off the loss to the Buccaneers, knowing that look that you were in that game to the very end, and then just let it get away and get real ugly and make it look like it was just an absolute blowout. And of course, the score was 45-20. That's a blowout, but hell, the Raiders were in that game till the bitter end, and then all of a sudden, like I said, the wheels just fell off. So it should be a game where these players, if they have some pride, this is one of those. If you got an ounce of pride to yourself, you go out there and ball out. And my example of this, let me give you an example to end the show real quick. And I know sometimes I get a little sideways and I start telling stories and it makes the show go a little bit longer. But, I mean, I am who I am. I'm a wheel. I'm always going to be a wheel. I ain't never going to be an engine. And that's just how it is. And I'm going to keep rolling on. So let me tell you this quick story, right? And then we'll wrap up the show. What I mean by if you have some pride in yourself, and I'm talking about the players, they'll go out there and they'll make for damn sure that they play a lot better and give a lot more effort than they did against the Buccaneers. And why I say that is because if anybody who is a human being who has a heart that beats and a pulse that's in their neck, you can reach up and feel a pulse in your neck. If you go out there and you put in a terrible performance in your job, whatever your job may be, if you go out there and you're worth a damn and you put in a bad performance, if you put in a bad day at the office and you don't come back the next day with a little bit of sense of, hey, I need to step up. I need to be a little bit better than I was yesterday. That's what I'm saying. That's gut check moment. That's have pride in yourself. Put pride in your work. If you give a damn about your name and who you are, that's what you do. Example from me is on Monday on ESPN Central Texas, I had an awful show. My show was terrible. I didn't do well. My co-host didn't do well. Nothing went well on Monday. And still, most people were like, oh, you had a good show. But me in my heart, I know that it was not a good show. It was, matter of fact, it was flat out bad. So I went into work on Tuesday and I had my red polo shirt on, which means that I got a point to prove. I got a little bit more motivated. It's just kind of something mentally that I do, and that's just how I get down. And you can agree with it or not, but it is what it is. And I looked at my co-host in the eye before we went on the air and I said, hey, much better than yesterday. Let's have an A game today. Let's have our A game. Don't come with that sorry stuff that we brought yesterday. And one of my co-hosts, Ward Weitz, I love him to death. He's a good dude, but he kind of looked at me like, oh, we're fine. We're fine. We did good yesterday. And I was like, no, we didn't. We sucked. We had a terrible show. You didn't perform well. I didn't perform well. Steven didn't perform well. Step our game up. I only need 3 hours. That's all I'm asking for. 3 hours of high quality radio. If you're going to bring it, bring it. If not, then we're going to have to do something because this is not acceptable. What we did on Monday was not acceptable and it made us all look bad. And after I gave him that nice little pep talk, guess what? We had a damn good show. So if we can do that and make pennies on the dollar, these guys that are making millions of dollars can go out there and have a sense of pride and, you know, have a little bit of respect on the name on the back of their jersey, because that's what they're playing for, the name on the back of the jersey and the name on the front and the shield on the side. Go out there and have a little bit of pride about yourself. Know that you had a piss-poor performance against the Buccaneers, and you're going to make that a lot better. Knowing that you could play better because you saw it in Kansas City. They played a lot better in Kansas City, then took a week off and came back and read the headlines and thought that they were good and took their performance and their game for granted. You cannot do that. So, anyway, long story, but yes, you bring up a good point, and it's not really a must-win, but it's a gut-check moment. Step your game up, show a little pride, act like you got some stones, and go out there and do what you're supposed to do, something you're paid to do, something that you love to do, by the way. It's not like you're digging ditches. You know, you're playing a game that you've been playing your whole life, and you should, for the most part, everyone love. I know everyone doesn't have the same passion in the game that they're getting paid millions to do. I get that. But still, if you're worth the salt, then you go out there and you do what you do. So now that I got on my preacher box, my pulpit, that's it. Show's over. Done deal. Everyone have a great day. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Social distance. Stay safe. Love on your family. And most importantly, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.